Good morning and welcome back to the Explicit Measures Podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Hello, everyone.
Happy Tuesday, gentlemen. Welcome back from the break.
Hello.
The holidays. How were your holidays, gentlemen?
It was good
for the new year, 2024.
We surprised our kids with a trip to Florida for Christmas this year. So we went to do a travel vacation. It wasn't too bad, other than the fact that I picked up a little bit of a throat cold. So I'm that's why I sound like a frog this morning. But overall, it was very relaxing. Got to see family, hang out, relax. It was good. How about you, Tommy?
Had a week off. We had some transformations because, man, we finally moved all of the children's toys into the basement. Our living room was just getting a little condensed. They don't have a ton of toys, but like after Christmas, I'm just sitting up there. It's like the where all their stuff is also where the living room is. And I basically went to, I'm getting trapped. So we finally now have opened up the living room and all of a sudden the TV seemed a little smaller. So after years and years of skimping on TVs, I always would get the size, but I would get the two stars, get the cheap one.
Yep.
I'm like, you know what? You know what? It's actually quiet up here. I'm actually getting, what is this thing called? A smart TV? Yes. And the color.
Wow.
And it's amazing.
Okay. What kind did you get? What kind of smart TV did you get?
We got a Samsung 75 inch.
Nice.
Which is insane. It sounds ridiculous, but the prices for them, I remember 2 years ago.
Dropped significantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. And they were like, hey, maybe we should do this. And oh, maybe we should get a sound system. We're like, all right, let's just kind of hold our horses.
So slow down, slow down.
It is insane.
That's awesome.
Well, that is exciting. Very exciting, actually.
Work has been good for 2023 for Tommy.
Listen,
excellent.
Happy holiday, happy birthday holiday for me.
Exactly. Exactly right. We got a couple introductions of some articles today to kind of go through. So let's hit a couple of those as we jump in here. But before we get to our introductions, our news, essentially, let's do our main topic today. Our main topic today is we're actually jumping back into more of the Microsoft documentation around just their implementation planning. We haven't really gone through this before, but it's talking through their implementation planning pieces. And we're going through strategic planning. And we're going to go through this for a couple Tuesdays here just to kind of jump in, learn what this is doing, and kind of talk about it a bit more. So today we're going to talk about step two, planning your workshops and conducting research for your Power BI implementations. This is the very beginning stages of implementing stuff. Okay. With that, let's jump over to some news articles before we jump into our main topic. And Tommy, you want to kick us off with something you found from Chris Webb?
Man, I don't know how I missed this too, but Chris Webb wrote an interesting new article that really is not having to do with Power BI, still data. And it's called Project Sophia by Microsoft. They announced it at Ignite. And what it is, they're calling it is an AI-powered business research canvas. Simply allows users to upload data or PDF and just generate some questions to basically say, hey, what's going on here? And what's really cool about how it works and what I'm really been testing out and enjoying with it is it will basically say, hey, I uploaded my biking activity, like every bike ride, all this data that comes from Strava. And I said, hey, how does my average speed look? And it gave me a few charts, a few texts, and then it gives me all these suggested next steps. And then you can basically branch out from each of the visuals or each of the questions, which actually makes it really kind of neat. Something I've been really enjoying so far.
So it's interesting. So it's an AI-powered visualization tool with some next steps or actions incorporated into it. Seems like an interesting project, but this is kind of what we've been promised for years from Power BI. A couple things that Chris notes here as well. This was an announcement that came at Ignite this year. There was a full session around it. And with this, you can only upload two types of files, CSV, Excel, actually three types, relatively small Excel, CSV, and PDF files. So it's not really ready for like large data sets. You're not going to throw this at your organization. It sounds to me more like this is an experiment that Microsoft is producing that they think might take off. and maybe this will turn into something else that they use inside the product. What are your thoughts, Seth? Have you seen this before? Did you hear about this at all?
I have not. Something to catch up on.
So basically, if you actually test it out, again, take a data set that you have and it'll basically say, hey, what's my average speed in 2023? I get a trending, a relationship between average speed and the time I moved, next steps. But if I hold Alt and C on my keyboard, I can actually choose a particular data point on anything on that canvas and then ask another question about that. Or basically, so it's really neat in terms of the, you could call it the linear view or the journey, the more, in a sense, story version of this, where it looks like a mind map. It actually looks like Miro when you're actually generating things off of it, which is actually something that I have a feeling this is going to be in Power BI at some point.
I mean, if it can't handle large data sets, I mean, this does make a lot of sense between what Sophia is doing and what Power BI is doing when you build like a visual, right? There's a large data set, multi-million rows of data potentially under the hood, and the visual is aggregating that data to a certain level. You're picking a couple dimensions, you're picking a couple measures. So you're having hopefully a couple hundred rows of data, which would make sense. And so sending this Project Sophia, here's a data frame, here's a visual worth of data. Okay, now do some analysis on that and see what it comes back with. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out. I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess I would say. I've not been very thrilled with any of the AI-based solutions that Microsoft is producing around Power BI. They're very like, ooh, look at this flashy bell and whistle. But very rarely do I ever, if I think about my daily workflow in Power BI, I'm not spending a ton of time using all the AI features. Let's be honest. Maybe I'm using the decomposition tree the most. But other than that, there's not really much other AI things I'm using from the Power BI space yet.
Sweet.
With that, let's move over to our other topic. We have another kind of opener here as well. That was Chris Webb talking about that one. So let's talk about there's a new, I think it's a new 50 set of DAX functions.
Yeah, I think they were in public preview maybe, but Zoe had a post on December 21st talking about the DAX query view introducing new info DAX functions. This one's interesting just from the standpoint that it's a much easier path into much of the back end of the model, right? Mm-hmm. I would imagine a lot of the tool sets that are out there that are, you know, describing the model, things that are very useful to understand related to like, oh, here are all your measures, here's the calculations, etc. Like this is like that easy path into there now in DAX functions.
I feel like this solves a problem that came, not solves a problem. This seems to me to be a solution that comes from now that we have the DAX query view inside desktop, right? To me, this makes a lot of sense now to have these additional 50 functions because I can just now evaluate these different functions. So evaluate info.measures lets you just run a quick query and see all the measures in the model in a list format, which I think is amazing. And then you can copy and or export that table of data out of the model now because of that DAX query view. So yeah. It feels like these, I don't know, maybe I'm reading between the lines here too much, but it feels like someone said, hey, there's no easy way to get at the DMV information. We need people to be able to see this and easily access the model data, the DMV level information. Let's make 50 new DAX formulas that just expose those tables for you automatically, which I think actually was a very smart move. So this means you can now set up a Power BI file with a handful of DAX queries that have list of columns, list of measures, list of whatever you want. You can list out the things that you need, and you can have just a results sheet of all the data of the model. And that can start becoming part of your data ops or your data checking as you build models and stuff moving forward.
Interesting.
So I think these are going to be very helpful moving forward. There's actually some more elaborate functions they've had here. One around creating the measures, creating tables, and then combining the left outer join between tables and measures. and returning the result DAX syntax. There's actually some really interesting code that they put in the blog article here as well. So let me just throw the blog article as well. This is really cool. I think this is going to be a neat feature, and I'm excited to see people blog about this to figure out what they're going to do with the new DAX query view. All right.
Agreed. Before we kick into the actual main topic today, normally on the first of New Year's, we're pretty excited, but and there is a lot of room to be excited. But I did want to call out that Layla, Reza's wife, passed away on December 31st. She had cancer, which she was very transparent about online. Mm-hmm. And our thoughts and prayers go out to Reza as he deals with, obviously, this traumatic loss. But Reza and Layla are two of the most unique individuals that have been part of the MVP community and have had a big impact, I think, on all of us. And are those unique individuals that just make a room shine with joy.
Oh, yeah.
So for those of you who are listening, Reza has posted several posts on LinkedIn. They are actually streaming the funeral. So if you're interested in attending that, it's on Thursday. Go check out his posts on LinkedIn. But I did want to take a moment with you guys just to share some fond memories. If you have any, Layla, I know that avid conference goer, ran into her all the time, and just a very unique personality.
Yeah, so I'll say the same thing. I've met Layla. I was actually able to speak at one of their conferences. They came to Power BI Summit in Chicago. Layla and Reza were just amazingly welcoming, super open hearts, very positive, and just wanted to see the community continue to grow. So I had a very wonderful experience working with them to help bring the event to Chicago. I was, you know, happy to promote it, and they were always super helpful about anything I needed to make sure our pre-cons and our sessions ran well. They were super smiley all the time. So I had nothing but a wonderful experience and was really drawn in. And Layla was very incredible. She was a two-time MVP. I believe she had an AI MVP as well as a Power BI MVP as well. So she was able to do two MVP.
Two different tracks, yeah.
Two different tracks. So one, it's hard enough keeping up with one track, let alone two tracks. So she was immensely smart. Anytime I asked her any kind of AI questions, even I would ping her randomly on Teams or via LinkedIn. Hey, I had a question about this. And she'd have an example of, here's something I tried. Here's some code. Here's a blog that I did. Check this out over here. So she's always, always willing to help and provide help to people as well. So I hope as a community, we continue to strive to be like Layla and to continue to help encourage people and to help them grow in their data career as well. So she definitely impacted me as I had random AI and, you know, higher end machine level questions. And she was very happy to just jump in and provide a helping hand. So best wishes, Reza, and our hearts are with you as you are dealing with your loss. And we are thinking about you as well. And we're going to miss Layla as well.
I've had the honor, Mike, to your point, and like I said, I'll just touch on this briefly. She's done so much. She's been writing actually a lot of the articles on Radicat as well. So just it's been a great example. I know she did a ton of the work with the conferences and traveling. So I think for all of us, the cool thing about what we get to do is we get to have a lot of that community that you just would never really expect. And we really have an awesome time, not just doing Power BI, but getting to talk to people and actually getting to know people and starting to care about them too.
For sure. I think to Mike's point, what a shining example of what it is to be a true community leader that she was. It takes a unique type of person to be able to balance the way they had with like running conferences, right? Mm-hmm. Completely, and being technical experts and jumping into a presentation or multiple.
I just don't know how they did it all.
Every time and everywhere. And yeah. And I don't think I've ever seen them stressed. Like they never presented that. Huge impact. She had a huge impact on the community, obviously, and all of us. And, we'll keep her in our hearts forever. for sure.
All right, with that, we're going to transition again. So we'll kind of jump into our main topic today. So our main topic, and I'll throw the blog link here as well. So let me go copy that link here as well and throw that here into our main chat window. Our main chat today is we're going to talk more about implementation, particularly around the BI strategic planning and focusing really on the step two plan, planning workshops and conducting research, talking through this section of Microsoft documentation. So I'll just kind of start there. Tommy, maybe give us a little bit of your maybe initial impression, maybe a bit of an overview of step two, planning workshops and conducting research. What are we doing here? What does this part of this strategic planning thing look like?
I'm curious going to see even how far we go today. So yeah, this is as we go through this implementation today, our first implementation Tuesday, we same article, but we really just focused on the step one. You'll see how the documentation's outlined. And that was about the team, the overall idea of what the strategy mean. Today, we're really going to be focusing on in the document step two, three, and four, which is the ability, really the planning workshops and research and conducting research, running workshops, and then taking that information and seeing where the goals and priorities are. To me, this is something I'm so glad to see this in an official Microsoft doc. This is something that I've always pushed for and something I've always seen the need in my own experiences, in my own adoptions, getting Power BI to the next level. And I'm amazed that the, I don't want to say the pushback that I get, but this is definitely the, if we get to this, great, but the most lowest priority in terms of usually with what a lot of organizations think they need to do. Research is, you know, if you're not doing it right, if you don't know what to ask and who to ask, it can be just a very ambiguous to ask the people that are going to be assessed. They're not going to know why. There's a lot that needs to be in place. And I think this is probably out of everything in the implementation planning guide and what a lot of people do, by far the one that's skipped over, either not even thought about or considered as to do. And then seeing it here, it's kind of, we'll get to that if we can.
There's actually a number of really good diagrams that are in this one as well. So it feels like, again, this is like a very curt thing to do. There's a labeled diagram halfway down here. And again, Peter Myers is the last one noted on the documentation. My guess is this is probably curt, and Peter was the last one in to kind of touch and refine the documentation. So Peter Myers has got his name on the documentation as well. So I know Peter's doing things here. But as I look at the diagrams and the images here, again, this feels very much like a curt influenced thing as well. And I really like his topics addressed with independent research in this section. So talking about there's a working team around researching and documenting what are the needs of the company and making sure we write these down, because I think these inform behaviors that you do in the subsequent steps, right? There's this whole area around business context, and there's whole around what are the existing BI initiatives and solutions today. I think these are really good points. So
I agree with that. Like the launch of the that particular area, right? Business mm-hmm. context. Mm-hmm. It is so. Let's catch up. I want to catch up my own head here first, right? We've discussed about like the working team, right? So these are the multiple different types of individuals from different business units and the centralized BI team or COE, right?
Like, well, they define that in the bullet points below. So they have a little label number one next to it. So the working team, as they defined it, is researching the business context and understanding the business strategy. Is a team defined by that. The research is led by business subject matter experts for each of their respective departments and or business units. So right. It sounds like it's not an IT-based function. This sounds like this is a collaborative team. SMEs, and again, I kind of place SMEs, subject matter experts, departments.
Yeah, right? It's above though. Like in the diagram depicted earlier, right? You have the center executive sponsor, center mm-hmm. of excellence outside the working team, which is COE, business me, master data team, data engineering team, security team, IT team, and I think we talked about like
yes.
those being roles may in large organizations, they could be individuals themselves that own the responsible areas, but it could be, you know, somebody wearing multiple hats. Right.
But I see their working team being part of, you know, the executive sponsor is participating in this, but they're more of a, do we approve and we move on? And are there any
blockers but not to this there? Level, not yes, to the, correct. Not to the yes. independent conducted research level. I think that's where yes. the working team is. So all I'm saying is there's probably a couple of people, right, to be hacking through this together.
Yes.
Or these steps together.
Oh, okay. I understand that.
So like, the reason I want to hang and talk about business context is without this, this is the central pillar, I think, of any engagement or anything you're trying to do with BI. Don't get stuck in the realm of going and just building all this stuff on your own, right? Correct. If anything, the working team shows that you need a subject matter expert from that particular area. But the important aspects that you want to knock out right away when you're starting to do this research is to understand the business context, right? Defining the data needs based on business objectives, right? SMEs lead the efforts to own the business context, but the intent of that working group is all of you share that knowledge as you're going through these exercises to define where should we be spending our time that's going to make the most business create the most business value, right?
Yeah, and I think to me there, I mean, I'd spend time on these things, but I mean, it's going to be, these are things that I would probably document them, research them, and put them down on part of your central portal, whatever your central portal looks like, you know, Confluence, Teams, wherever that may be. But there is a business goals. The goal of our team is to do these things, whatever that, make better decisions based on data, you know, write them down. Here are our strategic objectives, right? What do those things, what are those aligned data elements or data things that you're going to do to align the business, right? We're going to increase our data culture by educating people with quarterly meetings, something like that. Or, you know, we're going to use Power BI to be more data centric. Here's how we're going to implement that. So there's some strategic pieces here that I think helps your company align here. And then when I get down to like the other areas of this business context, like business processes, business data needs, I think it's very relevant to write these down because this will determine kind of what solution you provide to the business or what areas of Power BI do you need to work harder on to educate around. What I mean by this is if you expect everything to come out of a Power BI report and that's all you need, you're probably missing some of the functionality of PowerBI.com. There is this whole self-discovery and exploration and this idea of the model, the models of the data are very important. And so incorporating that with Analyze in Excel, Edging Reports, Data Hubs now in PowerBI.com, what is Fabric and how does all that fit into all of this? I think there's a lot of other things now that Power BI is bringing to the business that it's going to now to be more important for you to understand what are the business data needs, because those needs define what part of the tool will be most effective for them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm reading into a bit too much.
Seth, I wonder, you've been one of the champions about the OKR framework, and I'm looking at the business context and doing the independent research. I've seen this a ton, and I don't know if this becomes a deal breaker or maybe one of the biggest stopgaps in the reason why people don't do the research. Looking at the topics to address independent research and steps 1 through 5, each one of them is talking about understanding the business strategy for each of those teams and the SMEs. If you have a department or a team that doesn't have that defined well, I mean, where do you go from there? If they're just like, yeah, we're just doing sales and we have some campaigns running or whatever that case may be. If they're not having these clear objectives of being top down, and I wish this was something that was more uncommon than I've seen it common, where it's like, well, what are you doing? We've just been doing these reports or looking at these numbers because that's what we've always done. there's a delicate way you have to do research where you're not going in to say, what are you not measuring? What are you not doing right? Do you guys see that kind of political side of this as well?
I mean, there's always relationship building in initial engagement with business units. You do bring up a good point that I made a note on, like the diagram's easy to show, but it seems like it's missing a tier, or the tier would be you go through this independent research on the higher level of the organization first, and then this breakout actually happens within, I would think, within each department or business unit, because they can be radically different as it pertains to how far along they are along any data journey. Are they even, like, what sort of reporting are they doing? Are they doing everything manually in Excel? Do they have a third-party tool that they're plugging into that serves their business needs, right? Like, it's so many different variations of that kind of engagement that they are different. You're going to engage with them differently. How you define, you know, their particular needs are going to be different than a different business unit, but all of that should funnel up to the same spot, the same place, which is organizational OKRs, right? Just because a department, you know, has responsibilities to produce, you know, an outcome for a business doesn't mean that the business doesn't want all departments to be at a certain level, right? It just means some have further journeys to go, which is why I think Microsoft, even in this documentation, has done a great representation of typically, like, you're doing this on a department level. You can't do broad strokes when you're doing data culture and adoption, because there's unique variations of how areas are managed, how people view data, how, you know, things you need to teach them, right? If anything, I think one of the challenges with this framework that I've seen or experienced is you look at all of the conversations we're having now, and it's predicated on the resourcing, right? Like, you can't dive into this stuff. Like, so I think one of the largest challenges I've seen recently is we as business intelligence professionals know and understand that there are so many opportunities within the business. And we use these matrices and to look at adoption and data culture and, like, identify where we are at organizationally. And innately, because of our experience, we know that there is just a massive opportunity for the business in many different areas, but we won't know that specifically until we get into this type of research and diving down into details. Well, that requires initiatives and people and resources to define and go do that stuff. And that is kind of sometimes backwards with the way that the business wants to work, which is, well, clearly define for me what it is you're going to go solve. And it's like, well, the strategy's here, but we don't know what we're going to solve yet, because we have to dive in with these business units and figure out where they're at. And there's, I think, a balance of, oh, hey, you can not only get these one or two things that this department may know, but there's 10 other things, because we've engaged with them, that are huge opportunities for the business. And that could, you know, mainly mean cost efficiencies, right? Or, you know, in particular, we're always looking for revenue drivers as well.
I think there's and Tommy, to kind of, you know, point to you directly to your question, right? Do you find pushback? Is there a political game that's happening here when you talk about these things? I think people are very willing to talk about their business goals or objectives. And if you aren't, I think that's a cultural problem inside your organization, right? There should be, each department should understand why they exist and what they're trying to do to move the business forward at some level, right? Finance is trying to keep the finances under reins, make sure that, you know, auditing and, you know, legal things are taken care of. You have engineering trying to build net new products or improve existing products. You have, you know, marketing and sales. They have their objectives to increase sales and keep things, money flowing in the door. So I think at a high level, a lot of people agree on the big level objectives. I think when you start getting into like, what is your business process or how do you do the work that you do? That's where I think you see a lot more variety in how people accomplish their daily work. And I think that's where things get interesting to me in the Power BI ecosystem, is because there's a conversation that's very hard to, it's hard to quantify how much time you spend to be able to do your work, do your data work. People, I don't think, consider how long it takes you to load all that data, export it, get it done, and analyze it and spit it out for a report, or the risks that are associated with doing things inside Excel documents all the time. And so where I think most organizations struggle here is we can figure out goals at the business level that everyone aligns to. When it comes down to what are the skills and what are we doing in our daily workflows for our business processes, I think we find there's a lot of wide range of experience. Some people are some teams are really strong in Excel. Some teams are not. Some teams have, you know, just give me the report that I need to see. Other teams will say, just give me the data. I'll figure out my own report, right? I think each department has kind of hired a little bit differently based on what their needs are. And so you'll find there needs to be more of a broader strategic education about how do we get the entire organization to think about data. And a lot of times these cobbled together Excel solutions are because there's not enough information coming from wherever that single source right. or truth comes from. And I think we're getting an increase in this based on third-party cloud-based tools, Salesforce, all these other fancy, there's all these programs that do a very specific thing, which are good in and of their own right, but it doesn't let you join their data with everything else that you have internal to your company. And so what happens is you start falling into this trap of, well, I'm going to go buy this third-party data. I'm going to go use this third-party tool. Therefore, I have to collect all this data and start dumping it down. And you start building these mini databases on people's computers in a department that it shouldn't, you want that to be more shareable. And I think this is where thinking about those needs and documenting them helps you actually come together with a better strategy. Does that make sense?
No, this is honestly, that really goes into, for me, everything you're saying here is you realize kind of from top down, we always focus on the executive sponsor and we're always focusing on the BI team. I've kind of seen this and it's been a great confirmation reading this, that to me, I'm immediately going to this idea of the key stakeholders. And this is the first time I'm seeing a lot more information and a lot more content on what is the recipe for the people that need to be involved in this, right? Where this goes really back to the people, but you needing the people with not just certain qualities. And we've talked about someone who knows their business, someone who's a type of leadership, but it's also someone who's going to be involved successfully. If you go through the articles, it actually goes through the notes on, hey, just so you know, you actually may go through and find that the wrong key stakeholders could really hurt the idea of just trying to do the goals here. So this is from the section two or step three, the top down initiatives that we've talked about. Yeah. I'm not even going to step three right now.
Okay. I'm solely focusing on the map around the working team and the existing BI solutions documentation piece. I mean, I think there's just so much here already.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to look at the points here they make, step number seven, right? Identifying your business users and solutions under step seven, it talks about the working team investigates strategically important BI solutions and understands how the organization currently addresses their business data needs. This is an activity where you go in and say, show me how you're doing your work. What are you doing? Right? Because to your point, Seth, earlier, there is probably a lot of data that is needed that we're not getting today. The business is pulling it from some random place.
Data or to this point, your processes are completely different.
Yes.
How people get insight or, you know, to your point, data, are they just looking at data? Do they actually have some rudimentary reporting? Are they using a third-party tool for reporting? Is the reporting part of their third-party tool? is the data accessible, right? Like, to your point, Mike, like one of the biggest things that we've talked about in the past with like leveling up in data culture would be we don't buy third-party tools that don't allow data access easily.
Correct.
Right? Like, yeah. Whereas this gets you into that position where, yeah, there might be some challenges actually accessing the data, at which point, you know, we're kind of, our hands are tied a little bit.
Yep. And I like to your note there as well. And I thought, Tommy, you would jump on this point a lot earlier than this. Step number 10 talks about the important KPIs and master data. And I know, Tommy, you've been all about, you know, what is sales? What is a customer, right? A lot of this stuff is not defined, or it's defined differently between each department. And again, our whole goal here is not to take away your definition of what you think a customer is. Our whole goal here is to say, how do you define a customer, and what can we do to define that? Either you have to have, I don't know how to say this the right way, you can have many definitions for a similar type KPI or metric, right? As long as you quantify the differences in those calculations, right? Total sales, what does that mean? And then if you have another calculation, say a department will be like, well, we count total sales, but we exclude XYZ things from that total sales calculation. I see this all the time. And I'm saying it's the same, again, as I'm thinking about like the measures, I'm trying to take the business language, overlay it to what a measure is doing, and think about how I write the DAX to do it all at the same time. So I hear, let's talk about total sales. Okay, what column is sales? Okay, that's this column. We're going to do a sum on that column. Well, this business unit wants to define it slightly different. They want to exclude certain categories of sales from that calculation. Fine. That's a calculate wrapped inside another measure, and we're adding a filter to that to filter out some data from the data tables. No problem. You just can't call it total sales. It has to be total sales excluding whatever the things are. So you can be flexible in with what you calculate. It's just making sure that you actually document what are those main KPIs that you care about.
Yeah. The documentation piece is so, like, throughout here, I think is critical, right? Because the context that we're deriving by all this independent research is going to drive the direction and the future conversations. And I think that's what people miss a lot, especially in data work, is when you get into 10, where it's like, okay, we have all this context, we know how your business processes are working, here's this, now we're going to start building these measures, and these are the KPIs. Then, like, if you don't document that, I guarantee you, 2 weeks, a month, somebody's going to have a question about something, and you're going to sit there going, well, we had this conversation. Oh man, that was that meeting. Does anybody remember like why we made that decision? Right? Like, you don't have a frame of reference, which is why always going back to those key critical documentation points helps teams exponentially, especially when we're working cross collaboratively, right? We have multiple teams engaged here, that having that central repository of that critical information is 100% a deal breaker if you're not doing it. I would almost back up into 9 here, though, it states the working team identifies past or parallel initiatives to define the BI strategy. Past initiatives might contain valuable learnings, while parallel initiatives could be combined to avoid duplicate effort. There's so much of this stuff, man. Like, if you think about the goal of a central BI team, should be an enablement team. We're obviously building reports, but those should be, in my view, more strategic, right? More compiling data from multiple different areas together, creating those curated data sources. If you have an entire data engineering team, awesome. You can spend more time on the insight and reporting side as opposed to cobbling, like putting data together. But the parallel work stream, man, duplication of effort is something that I've seen rampant. Right?
That's a really good point.
But it's not necessarily a lack of communication. It's just the larger the organization gets, right? Somebody's initiative, or multiple people pick up the same initiative and start running with it. And then these are efforts, I think, where, hey, having these conversations at the right place at the right time allows us to understand that, oh, you did all this work already, or, you know, like, can we, oh, great, let's leverage what you did mm-hmm. and let's build on it and don't and stop what you're doing there and jump over here, right? Or just finding opportunities where maybe you thought one of the major priorities for that business unit was going to be having to step in and build some reports. And maybe that's not the case because they're already like well down that path. But there's a lot of like that point stuck out to me because I've seen a lot of that duplicative effort, which is just a killer.
And I think Adrian makes a great comment here that there's a natural tendency of people to jump into programming or building the solution without doing proper research beforehand. Yep. And I would agree with this because I think that's the easy button, honestly. I see a problem, I'll fix it. Right. Boom.
Nail. Hammer. Yeah. Boom.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think there's a need, or at least initial thoughts that say, okay, let's step back. Let's really take a high level look at things and then we can go into the weeds. Right. So I think too often we go right after the solution and technical pieces. One impression here as I read through this documentation, this feels a lot to me around step two and potentially step three. This feels a lot to me like this is an organization who's starting to say, I want to land Power BI. I want to do it. But they're just starting out. This does not speak to me in an organization who's already turned on Power BI, has let it build, it's been growing in the business organically, and now they're coming back and say, let's govern it. Is that how you read this as well? I feel like I'm reading this implementation planning as a, and maybe that's the right way to do about it, to go about it, is to say, look, this documentation is intended for organizations that are just starting out with Power BI.
No, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think the documentation is laid out in such a way that if you were starting from square one,
okay,
here's how you do that, right? Where you land in here, I think, is dependent on whether or not you're using Power BI as the tool or Fabric, right?
Sure.
To solve some of these problems. And the reason I lean towards that is even after this very specific, like, first you need your working team, then here's how you do your, the research.
Yep.
Like right under that is the blue box of important where they have the link to the maturity levels. So there's an expectation
sure.
that you're going to be at different levels at like from an adoption of data and data culture, reporting, tooling, et cetera, et cetera. And I think also, Mike, to that point, your organization could be at a certain level where certain business units are well below that, right? Your average, like overall, you're at a higher level because you have some of the strategic things that you need. But as you get into it with these working sessions, mm-hmm. maybe they are at different maturity levels, which I mean, I don't think in my head I'm suggesting like I'm grading each department, but to some degree, maybe
you kind of are.
Because you're going to have to do different things to level them up.
Agree.
Honestly, though, you were talking about the KPIs here. And Mike, to your point, is this when an organization is just starting up, they're new to Power BI? I would completely disagree with that. I think really that's step two, three, and four, identifying the key stakeholders, conducting that research. That need to be a reoccurring biannual exercise that BI or the organization should partake in. We know how quickly not just the technology changes, but we know how flexible and liquid teams are. Dealing with sales team, well, now there's this region and there's the different initiatives. How are we going to those goals? The idea of the workshops, the ideas of, okay, is there someone else who's now taken in a sense the reins that's going to be a good key stakeholder rather than when we initially started, now that we're a little more into it. I think the workshops, depending on the size, the importance of that team or department, if you have the right group together, I would pushed for that to be on a quarterly basis, maybe from a high level organization point of view. If you're dedicated to a particular team, depending on how you're structured, I don't think this is at all only for a weird new to this and we're just trying to figure out Power BI. One of the things I really do appreciate in the documentation is in the looking at the research is understanding, like, you know, they're not going from necessarily Excel and no data to Power BI. There's probably other teams that were creating reports and other tools or other systems that they were using. So that needs to be part of the conversation as well. So I appreciate that going into this, but I think the big part here is looking at the objectives, understanding the initiatives. Are we on track? Are people happy with the results so far? And now that we all understand more about what Power BI can do, does that change the initiatives? Because now those key stakeholders can say, oh, well, now that I've seen what Power BI can do, here's where I would like to pivot because I didn't know that was even possible.
I mean, a couple things. You kind of threw a lot of things in the mix there. So I feel like this article still reads very much like it's a new organization. To your point earlier, Seth, I think you can very much pick up this strategic planning and jump in and say, okay, we already have Power BI implemented. Let's just make sure that we have our goals aligned to what we want to do. So,
But just because you have Power BI implemented doesn't mean you're using it right. Like
agree.
Great. We're using Power BI as a tool. Everybody in our organization, or like the vast majority of people in our organization who need access to build stuff, they're building things. We may or may not be governing it or administering it well.
Sure.
You're getting use out of it. You're like, there's value to the business.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily equate to the conversations that we're having here from a strategic perspective. You may not be doing any of this. So from that perspective, like, who cares if you have Power BI implemented?
And that's kind of maybe where I was going to go with that more further with Tommy's comments, because Tommy was kind of saying, like, this should be something that is periodically reviewed, right? So if you haven't done this, you should go through this. And then I don't see a step in here yet, but maybe there is a step to go back to your current BI tooling, whether Power BI or something else, and evaluate, okay, now that we've gone through this, do we have these tick boxes checked off? Do we have our business goals? Do we have some strategic objectives that we're going to deliver here? What are our processes that we're doing today? And then looking at, okay, let's see how we have either existing Power BI set up and reviewing this. And I do think over time, there should be an alignment. And again, I'm not sure if I would say quarterly. Maybe it's quarterly. Maybe it's yearly. Maybe it's twice a year. I don't know. But there should be some review of this over and over again to make sure that things haven't changed.
It'd be interesting to see if we're just shooting ahead in some of this documentation as far as conversation. But one of the things I see missing here, and maybe it's, like I said, maybe it's too early, but what is the outcome of all of this research and this discussion? It's work, right? To me, as Tommy's talking about like this cycle, man, all of a sudden that strikes a chord with me of like, what is the product life cycle? Like, we have if you develop software, if you're doing things, absolutely, mm-hmm. It's a quarterly thing where you have product managers that are defining what things need to be built to solve the problems of the organization by quarter. And you're constantly grooming and you're figuring out what things need to be built and all these things. And I'm looking at this going, are we missing some folks here or a role where it's like, is there a project manager or a program? It's like someone to say, great, this team, the centralized team is now engaging with five different business units. Who's level setting expectations? Who's keeping track of making sure that all these initiatives and these things can be delivered in this time frame? Or is this just a free for all? And this is maybe where the conversation kind of takes an interesting detour for me, at least mentally, is maybe this is where some of the one foot in business, one foot in IT part comes in, where mm-hmm. there's some great things that happen in IT in a general fashion as par for the course. We create stories, we schedule them, we butt them up against resource capacity. We tell you what you will get in a quarter or roughly. And what does that do? It defines expectations, right? There's a little bit of difference here, I think, from the standpoint that there's an expectation that the business units are picking up some of this responsibility, but But at the same time, I guarantee some of this is shared. Like there's probably data engineering work, data access. Like is there something missing from the business? Is there strategic reporting that needs to happen? Is there teaching, learning, and training that needs to happen with business users? Are they going to pick up 70% of the reporting? Like this whole thing happens in every business unit with the same central team. Like ownership of that is very challenging. Like you think about the roles and responsibilities of like who owns all of the things to make that keep going. And I'm kind of surprised that they don't have the business, well, not the business, but like the project owner, or, you know, maybe there's one, not by department. I'm just like spitballing, but like that cycle of we're going through these exercises. Business needs change. Our objectives are changing throughout the year. So like what our initiatives are and what we need to build is an important part, I think, that we've talked about doesn't happen enough on the business side, where there's just this expectation that it all gets done. Well, that's not what
happens. It's not a reasonable expectation.
Or should it be? Right.
I'd agree with that one. And I, as I continue to groom through or skim through the latter part of the article, a lot of your points ring true here, Seth. There's a lot of, you know, aligning goals, thinking and strategies. You read this one and you feel very overwhelmed. You're like, oh my gosh, there's so many workshops we should be doing. I don't want you to feel like you're getting to a point where you get paralysis by analysis. You shouldn't go through this article and say, I have to do all these things. And I'm thinking about those small to medium sized organizations where this is not being handled by lots of people. There's one executive sponsor and there's maybe one person leading their BI initiatives. You've just got to make some decisions and go. You've got to hit the ground running. You've got to kind of start moving in a direction. Doesn't mean you don't do it without planning or thinking ahead. But I mean, the very end of this whole article, it has a very nice checklist. I felt like at the end, curate your list of business needs and where you see the biggest opportunities. Rank them, right? Where's your biggest need and where's your largest opportunity? Decide on your strategic goals. I think this is right what you were saying, Seth. You need a 12 to 18 month plan. Here's what we're going to try to deliver over time to various teams. And that may change throughout the year, right? You may find certain teams are not engaging, therefore you can't solve their problems. But halfway through the year, they start engaging and you find a whole bunch of new problems. That's okay. I think that's okay. As long as you're listening to the business and engaging them. And then at the bottom here, aligning with your stakeholders, who's paying the bills, right? Executive sponsors, someone needs to own the salary of that central BI person, whoever that may be. Let's make sure that their boss is happy with the direction you're going. Are you adding value? Is the business getting what it needs out of it? And then finally, align with your executives, right? What's the main level objective? This is the OKR framework. Mm-hmm. What is the big goal that we're trying to go after? And how do we become more efficient at that?
On these Tuesdays where we're diving into a lot of these topics, I think, time flies when you're having fun. We're almost at end of time. I do want to pick up next Tuesday though, like wherever we're at with the stakeholder conversation, because I do think that is a critical piece that Tommy pointed out that will instantly derail a lot of these efforts.
Yeah.
Unless you want me to fly through right now.
No.
I hear a lot of times from people saying we don't have a strong executive leader, executive sponsor.
Yeah.
And what do you do then? And I think,
but I'm talking on like the stakeholder that you're engaging with.
Gotcha. Right?
But yes, that also pertains to can you get the executive sponsor? I think
can you get that?
The levels of where you engage are critically important here as well.
I agree with that as well. Awesome. With that, let's kind of do a final thoughts here. We'll do quick final thoughts on this article around strategic planning, particularly around section step number two, which was really focusing on getting your, let's see, step three is run workshops and completing your assessments. But step two was basically planning for and understanding what is the conducting research phase of what your business needs. So it's kind of our main talking point today. Tom, any final thoughts that you had kind of wrapping up today?
I think for me, it's again the highlight here on two main areas that are so important to all of this is the right key stakeholders in the right mix from the organization, but also the doing that research and those assessments that we can agree on the values, agree on how are we going to communicate, what have we gotten from here, what are the next steps, why are you involved. There's too much sometimes an emphasis on we're going to roll out Power BI, it's just a report, it's easy to use, when we realize that data is what moves and drives people in their day-to-day. So once we're doing all of the assessments, once we're understanding those workshops, why are we doing this? Why is this important? What is going to be the next steps? And that communication from the onset is going to get people bought in. And it's at least going to build that trust. So this is something that to me is not only can't be glossed over, but you better have a plan for the 2 months that you're going to be doing this or the month that you're going to be doing this.
2 months. So
any kind of final thoughts?
Who lets you do things for 2 months?
Oh, man. So,
2 weeks. You get like 3 days. That's it,
Tommy. Yeah, man. Fine.
Well...
I'm joking. There's a lot here. There is a lot here. I think, you know, as we go through here, right? Like it's throwing another, you know, shovel full of sand into a bucket, right? Like the foundations for how you go about approaching these conversations is important. And I think they're doing a relatively good job so far of outlining that. Business context and aligning it to the strategic goals of the organization is critical. If you don't have goals as an organization, start there first, right? Like it's going to make it harder because you can't prioritize everybody's wants and needs, right?
Correct.
And make everyone happy. When you as the central BI person or person responsible for, you know, those initiatives has to prioritize those things. It's paramount that those I rely on those all the time. What like in that conversation, does this align to something? No. Okay. Well, you just dropped all the way down to like medium priority, as opposed to the next conversation point where you're like, okay, well, this one does. You're at high or critical, right? Like we're jumping on that right away, because there's a driver behind that throughout the organization, everybody knows is an important part of us achieving something within a year. So the context for all this is great. I think the bullet points that they have are hitting on a lot of the, you know, kind of touch points or hot button issues that I've encountered in the past. And all of it is very relevant to walk through on your own to get the base for how you launch into these conversations and set up the architecture for this stuff.
A lot of this documentation is very high level. So I think it's important to read through this documentation and just kind of get the gist of where it's going. My takeaway from this one really is don't get bogged down in the details. Don't get stuck in, you have to do every single one of these things. I would say a couple of the main things I would focus on would be stating your business goals, writing out some strategic objectives, assessing a lot of what do we do today? How does our current team work with data today? And then I think another part of this was really focusing on areas where you know there is pain points with your data currently. What is hard to do? Solve those problems first. If teams have trouble getting access to data, figure out how to alleviate those pain points, because I think you get more buy-in. You get more people to get on board when you start removing pain points from their daily workflow. And I've seen it multiple times. That's kind of how I've driven adoption before in the past, a little bit more organically than maybe most. But it really focuses on let's spend attention and time around making your day easier using Power BI as that medium to get the work done. And if you do that, I think you get people to buy in. They like it. They want more. They want to get a pro license. They want to get engaged. They want to help you figure things out. So I think by doing it that way, by working with executives and bridging the needs of the business, bringing those needs forward and saying, here's the biggest issues we have with data, that will be your main success here. And I think a lot of this is just setting up to help you do that. It's helping you to do this in an organized way. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate you listening to the Explicit Measures podcast. Welcome back to the new year. This is, oh gosh, I can't believe it's already 2024. Here we go. So yet another year of really fun, interesting data things. We'll see where this year takes us as well. With that, we only ask one thing of you as listeners. If you like this episode, if you like what you were hearing here and we're getting some value out of this and the article from Microsoft, please share it with somebody else on social media, at a work function, or within your work environment. We love it for you to share this podcast with somebody else. It really helps us spread the word. Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
As always, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to subscribe and leave a rating. It helps out a ton. If you have a question, idea, or topic that you want us to talk about in a future episode, head over to PowerBI Tips/podcast. Leave your name and a great question. And join us live every Tuesday, Thursday, 7:30 a.m. and join the conversation on all Power BI Tips social media channels.
All right. With that, we'll see you next time.